Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
This is gonna be the best day of my life.
Good morning, Steve Dale here, of course. Happy New Year to all of you. And what a exciting thrill this is to always talk with past president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, Dr. Roger Marr. And, you know, when people become president of the AVMA, they think in their heads, you know what, I want to do something specific about fill in the blank. I guess like presidents of the United States, Dr. Marr is like the president of veterinary medicine, or he was. And I think it would be appropriate for me to say, Dr. Marr, that your goal was to focus greatly anyway on One Health.
Well, that certainly was a major focus for me as I served in the year 2006-2007. I had the privilege of doing that, serving the American Veterinary Medical Association.
And Dr. Marr is from the Chicago area, so we're very proud of what you've done. And boy, you've done it. So I've used the term One Health. I will be talking more about One Health as it happens in 2020, but I need an explanation. What is One Health? What am I talking about?
Well, simply put, One Health means healthy people, healthy animals, healthy plants, and healthy environment. One Health has been defined more specifically as the collaborative effort of multiple health science professions, and together with their related disciplines and institutions, working locally, nationally, and globally to improve the health of people, animals, plants, and our environment.
So for those who don't have a pet, why would you care about One Health? Give me some examples, if you can, of what we're talking about and why this is so, I'd argue, increasingly important.
Well, the scope of One Health is broad and extensive. It significantly deals with most consistent throughout is the human-animal connection, but the that connection as it relates to infectious diseases, particularly zoonotic diseases, food safety and security, as we look at antimicrobial resistance, bacteria that infect animals and people from our environment. Some of those are resistant to antibiotics now, very much involved with environmental aspects of various disaster situations, responding to those, whether they might be due to very severe infectious zoonotic disease that may come into beings such as avian influenza, those that could affect both animals and people, but also natural disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires, and the need for, most importantly, the need for working together, for coming together to as the convergence between people and animals and the environment, the need for coming together with governmental agencies, the professional associations, the non-governmental organizations, academia, research institutions. So it's a very broad and scope. But we recognize that the importance of collaboration, coordination, and communication across all of these various disciplines is critical to addressing those challenges.
Well, what you were able to do is incredible, because what you were able to do is get the Democrats and the Republicans together I'm not talking about in the state of Illinois. I'm talking about in the United States, the House of Representatives, and also the U.S. Senate. And I will let you go from there. And in great part, it's because of you and the and your initial efforts.
Well, the first of all, the focus that I had as I assumed the ADMA presidency was based on the need for collaborative leadership across all our various disciplines and institutions, and that includes various governmental agencies. That's the most important. And what we're very excited about recently is the fact that the Senate, under the leadership of Senators Dianne Feinstein and Martha McSally, put forth a resolution which the Senate unanimously passed, a bipartisan resolution, which designated January as the National One Health Awareness Month, of January of 2020. And it was for the purpose of promoting the importance and value of the One Health approach, and also emphasized the fact that we're living in a changing environment populated by interconnected animals and people, and that connection requires the challenges of being addressed with solutions that are integrated, and again, the call for collaborative leadership. And so that was the basis for my work as I was preparing for the ADMA presidency, was to focus on the ADMA mission, which was to improve human and animal health, but also to advance the veterinary profession. And so through that effort, I recognized that it was my responsibility to put forth an initiative called the One Health Initiative, which ultimately has transitioned to a global effort, and obviously now an increase in awareness of the importance and value of the One Health approach.
Well, you certainly succeeded, and congratulations for what you personally did. So let me give, if I can, an example of what we're talking about. So we don't get tick disease from our dogs directly. However, dogs get tick disease. If ticks are in the environment, we're going to get tick disease. And the CDC very recently finally said, oh, yeah, they are a sentinel. Is that the kind of thing that we're talking about? Or another example, in Africa, it sounds crazy, but yeah, Ebola that kills people came originally from, I believe, a variety of monkey species. Are these all different types of examples? And of course, I could go on forever, of the kind of thing that we are talking about.
Yes, the impact of increase in world population, and then this interaction, various vectors that carry diseases that are transmitted from animals and people. Over 75% of all the emerging diseases worldwide are zoonotic. They're transmitted from animals to people. And the some of these do include diseases such as Ebola, but HIV, tuberculosis. But then there the need for addressing these comes down to some of the chronic diseases as well. Looking at diseases that are common among animals and people, diabetes, heart disease, various cancers, and so there's a need and actually a growing presence of collaboration now, working across the disciplines to find solutions to these, and so that's the essence of of a little bit of examples of what we're talking about.
And veterinary medicine, more and more veterinarians, veterinary researchers are working worldwide, not only in the U.S., with a human of physicians and researchers, because very oftentimes the animals that we talk about, whether they be companion animals, sometimes animals in the wild can be vectors for disease or responsible for spreading diseases that we get, or they may themselves get diseases that we get. So if we can help them, we help us. Is that correct?
That's correct. And perhaps that's the most exciting part of the One Health effort here. It's been actually been very heartening over the past 13 years regarding the emphasis and the recognition of the importance and value, and the we are seeing more and more multiple academic universities working with together, working across government agencies and in collaboration with various disciplines. It's important to recognize that this includes not only the health professions, but we're including veterinarians with human medicine scientists, public health, environmental scientists, but also engineering and the importance of social sciences involved with this effort, too.
All right. Well, Dr. Maher, you are to be congratulated for all this magnificent work, for getting it done. Most of all, I guess, for getting Democrats and Republicans on a national level to agree on something that's good for all of us. Thank you very much. And it's always good to talk to you. And Happy New Year to you, your wife, Marilyn, and your entire family.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you for all of your leadership and support towards the One Health approach.
Thank you. Steve Dale back with you. Some of you may have heard that this, what was it, a week and a half ago, a very tough time for myself and my wife, Robin, as we suddenly to a disease called, and it's a very tragic thing, called hemangiosarcoma. Yeah, it sounds bad, doesn't it? It is bad. Quickly happened to our dog, Ethel, who was 13 years old. Sometimes people come home from work and just find that their dog has died. It's a kind of blood cancer. It's often associated with several different organs, most often the spleen. You can remove the spleen and sometimes the tumor if you know about it. That's if you know about it. And if it's malignant, even then, with chemotherapy, the dog only lives approximately 4 to 6 or 7 months. I mean, It's not, I don't know that there is a good cancer, but this is certainly not a good cancer. And sometimes that tumor ruptures and the dog begins to bleed out. And that's when they die very, very quickly. And that's what happened to our dog. I mean, one moment she's fine and the next not so much. And I posted in social media, you know, social media gets, and maybe appropriately so at times, criticized. But so many people were so kind. And yeah, because I do what I do, I heard from the leaders in veterinary medicine. That was so touching. People like Dr. Maher and his wife, Marilyn. I also heard from all of you, listeners and readers of my blog. I heard from my colleagues in the animal behavior world. I heard from so many different people. And that helped. And I read through and read each and every comment, as did my wife. But there was one comment in particular that, and I don't think this person meant it in a bad way, said, "I feel bad for you, but she was, after all, only a dog." And I thought I'd reply to that. And here is the reply that I wrote. And if you'd like to see it yourself, you can go to my blog, which I hope you go to frequently anyway, and subscribe to my free blog newsletter that comes out about twice a month. That's stevedale.tv. So my reply to that is, yes, only a dog. Only a dog sees you every day with the same joy she did on the previous day. A dog's love is the most dependable guarantee of a relationship that there is in a time when there are few guaranteed relationships. Only a dog will always tell you the truth, as dogs don't lie. Only a dog knows exactly how you're feeling. Dogs innately take our emotional temperatures arguably better than your significant other or even your children. Only a dog will love you always and forever and unconditionally. You're right, dear reader. She was only a dog. Maybe only a dog isn't so bad and something we should all aspire to have those characteristics for. WGN Radio, I'm Steve Dale. 2019, an important year for many of us, me included. So what was I most proud of? What were the biggest stories for me in 2019? Well, one, which I'll comment on again next week on the show, Michael Vick being named as an honorary captain to the Pro Bowl. Are you kidding? All right, let's say you forgive and forget. Two issues here. Number one, aren't there better choices? Not only what he did off the field, as you know, or if you don't recall, he participated in dogfighting in a very personal way, but also as a player. Aren't there other examples? I'll talk about it more next week on the show. But also, what is this an example of? I mean, is this the guy we want to put up on a pedestal? Anyway, I'll talk about it next week more on the show. On this show, we had Tommy Tranchita on several different times, talking about her coyote cubs that became, they grew up, they were fine, she had the right permits to keep them for 13 years. And all of a sudden, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources says, you didn't pay a $25 license fee. We're going to round them up. They did in a very brutal way, so much so that three of the four die as a result. The one still living, for whatever reason, the state of Illinois refuses to allow this coyote to come back home. It's living now in Indiana in better conditions than it did when it was first removed. But why did they need, really, to remove these animals? After a January kennel fire, as some of you know about, I worked with the Humane Society of the United States and U.S. State Representative Diane Pappas. And what we were able to do is create a law, now Illinois law, as of January 1, it's a law, where kennels need to have fire protection in place. First state in the country to do this. So all kennel facilities in Illinois now must have a sprinkler system, an alarm system that rings directly to first responders or a human being on the premises 24/7. And my hope is, and I've heard, other states are looking at this and other states may follow. I was one of the organizers and so proud to be a part of, and we'll talk about it a bit more next week on the show, as we have Dr. Drew Wagner, the president of the Wynn Feline Foundation, on the show. I was so proud to be a part of the Wynn Feline Foundation FIP Symposium. FIP is Feline Infectious Peritonitis. This was the largest gathering ever, to anyone's recollection, of veterinary professionals, but also cat breeders and people who just love cats and anyone else who wanted to participate, to talk about one specific feline disease. And going into the event, if you look in any book on veterinary medicine, FIP is fatal. Now it's no longer considered fatal. In fact, it's considered treatable. Why? What happened? How do you treat? I've been talking about that on the show, and I'm very proud to have been a small part of the answer to all of that, and I guess a larger part of putting this whole symposium together, which I was, in fact, very proud of. One of my proudest moments also came in 2019, and that was to interview the great Dr. Jane Goodall. We played the interview earlier in the year. You know what? We need people like her to run the world, or maybe her. Saintly? Yes. She is the United Nations Messenger of Peace. She really should have a Nobel Peace Prize in her hip pocket for all that she's done, all that she continues to do around the world. And it was such an honor to again sit down to speak with her just weeks before her 86th birthday. In 2019, I contributed to the book you may not have called El Gato Atrapado, which translates, I'm told, to The Cat Hit by a Car. The book is written in Spanish. My chapter was translated into Spanish. But in English, this book, Decoding Your Cats, authored by members of the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists, comes out later in the year. I wrote the introduction for that book, as I did for the book Decoding Your Dog, which I know did so well because so many people, it's still out there, Decoding Your Dog, and I hope you consider purchasing that book because it really is a 101 on everything regarding dog behavior. Well, I'd argue decoding your cat is even more necessary because we need, I do mean need, to bust myths that people have about cats, which simply are just wrong. They're not true. And there was one other thing that I was involved in 2019, an initiative called Fear Free. And I will talk about that initiative and my involvement next on WGN. So check out this website, fearfreehappyhomes.com. It's the thing. When Dr. Marty Becker, who's been on this show many times, began what is called Fear Free, the idea initially was to minimize fear, anxiety, and stress of veterinary visits. But it caught on. The idea caught on. His timing was spot on to do this. It caught on because more and more, I think, pet owners are interested in the emotional well-being of their companion animals. I mean, clearly, veterinarians have always been there for the medical or physical health of our pets. But for the medical health, that includes emotional health. And emotional health and physical health, they kind of go hand in hand. We know that now in human medicine. And the same is true for our companion animals. So it instantly caught on. So dog trainers said, well, we want to be fear-free. Animal shelters have said, we want to be fear-free. Dog groomers have said, we too want to be fear-free. And Dr. Becker and others, including myself, created this website called fearfreehappyhomes.com. You know, there's so much misinformation on the internet regarding our companion animals. There's some great websites, some wonderful websites with information that I hope you do go to. Oftentimes, those websites ends with .edu because they're veterinary colleges. But I'll tell you, there's just so much out there that is not correct. So even for stories that I write for Fear Free Happy Homes, they are read over by others, either by a veterinary behaviorist or a veterinary technician boarded in animal behavior, or I read over some. I mean, they're all, so it's like a peer-reviewed journal, but it's for all of you, for the general public. Fearfreehappyhomes.com. I am so honored to be a small part of that. Next week on the show, we're going to answer your email questions, Steve at stevedale.tv, some questions having to do with cats.